Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is Steve Arterburn, and with Steve Arterburn is Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we welcome you to New Life Live. Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing
Hi,
good.
Hi, Steve.
Sorry about the little echo there.
Yeah, that's okay.
Hey, by the way, it is National Recovery Month. We always talk about this. And in the first step of life recovery, we're doing something that's really important for folks. We're just going to mention this here because it is Recovery Month, National Recovery Month. But we talk about one thing, and that is admitting that my life is not manageable. I don't have the power in and of myself, by myself, to manage my life. It's out of control and kind of getting more and more insane as we go along. That's a pretty bold step for folks to take, wouldn't you say?
That's a power. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful step to recognize that we're powerless.
It's the beginning, though.
Yeah.
It really is the beginning of us because, you know, the first three steps are, I can't do this on my own. There is a God in heaven that can. Think I'll let him is step three. But it all begins with an admission, a humbling down of saying, I don't have everything it takes, but with God's help, you know, I'm going to. But first you have to say, I got to give up all this stuff that's making my life crazier and crazier. It just isn't going to help. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to David, Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hey, David, how are you? What's going on?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a dilemma that where my wife and I are on maybe two different pages, and I'm trying to get to her page, but we have a child in college. And she just recently went, and she really doesn't know what she wants to do. And so she withdrew for the semester, and I talked with her about it, about, you know, well, she can get a job for right now until she can figure out what she wants to do, and we would help her work through that. Since that time, we found out that she's been smoking e-cigarettes or vaping.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has my wife really, really concerned because she's read the stuff online about some of these kids that are going to the hospital because of it. And so for her, one thing I know is because we've been through marriage counseling, I've been tagged as an avoider. My wife is a vacillator. And so she responds very vigorously to that, and it feels like she wants to go get her and bring her home.
Okay. The purpose of bringing her home would be what?
Get off of that. Pardon me?
She'd bring her home to help her get off of it? That's what you're saying?
That, and also to kind of help her through what we think are some things she's struggling with, and we don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. She won't tell us. She has become somewhat isolated over the last 6 to 8 months. And then the more we found out about her vaping, she's been doing this longer than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
I called her the other day, you know, and asked her not to do it anymore. And I told her, you know, we would help her with either gum or some kind of a medicine. She's been prescribed with Wellbutrin, and I asked her if she was taking it. She says she was, and then she threw away her e-cigarette pod or whatever that is. But then we saw where she's been purchasing it. So,
all right. Let us help you here as soon as we get back from this break, okay? It's pretty tough because, you know, it's all about nicotine and the addiction and the best intentions. One of the toughest things to stop. So we'll help you right after this. Listen to New Life Live.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And you know, all of us, I think, in the helping world, we're just hearing more and more situations of, you know, it's not good. And the sad thing is it's not good with something that a lot of kids were convinced, well, this is going to be better than, you know, what my parents did or things like that. Jill, let's start with you. I mean, it really isn't a good situation here, and it's such a tough addiction to
right.
stop.
It is, David. And just real quick, how old is your daughter?
David?
Well, I don't know. If
are you there?
How old is
your daughter? I am here.
How old's your daughter?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
She's 20.
Yep.
She's 20. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
This situation, I'm not sure where you and your wife are not on the same page.
Where is that? Tell us where you're not on the same page.
Well, so my initial reaction is to leave her where she is, and we found a counselor up there that what we're wanting to do is require her to attend these counseling sessions to help her through this. And my wife wants to bring her home to do it here.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that my daughter does not want to come home. And that's not the reason why I'm not bringing her home. I just don't know if that's the best situation for her or not. And, okay. You know, I just don't know if she's going to be resentful towards us.
Coming home is kind of like
do something like that.
Coming home is like admitting you failed. I'm sure in her mind.
Well, I think part of it is she also just doesn't want to be home.
I understand that, but you sent her away to school, and now she doesn't want to go to school, right? And she's vaping.
Right.
Okay, so she's using nicotine, but she could be vaping weed as well. So her priorities are shifting. And so she wants to just still be supported, living on her own, working and doing her habit. And she'll go to a counseling session. Does that sound like it's going to work?
Well, I don't know. And that's why I called, because what she wanted to take a semester off. And so we were allowing her to do that to figure out what she wanted to do, because part of it was she really doesn't know what she wants to do right now. And so,
okay, but a lot of kids in college don't, and they keep on and figure it out as they go. I mean, sometimes you do take a semester off. I'm not saying that that is a bad thing, but I think her priorities are shifting, and it sounds really good, but she's wanting to take time off because, you know, school's kind of a hassle, and it gets in the way of other things that are more fun.
Vaping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would encourage this too. Your wife is, I mean, she's probably most likely a little more in tune with the solution to the daughter than you. Let's just, you know, I just kind of assume it
it's
many
kinda,
times that
kinda
that
typical.
There's an understanding. It'd be rare that the dad, you know, and I was a really involved dad, but, you know, well, I would just kind of go with her intuition here and say, okay, here's the deal. Let's try it, but let's have some parameters under which this is done. I don't think paying for her to fail at college or to be on hold away from home is necessarily a good idea, because what she's proven is she needs additional help for her to develop mm-hmm. independence here, and she's probably not going to do well at being consistent in doing the things that need to be done to re-up or to improve mm-hmm. her life the way that it needs to be improved. So I'd kind of favor going with your wife on this versus kind of holding out, hoping that things are going to get better while she's away.
Well, and Steve, dads emphasize, you know, pushing children out into the world, right? Drawing them out into the world.
That's our job.
So that's our job. David, what you are seeing, and it makes sense that that's what your focus would be. You know, we moms want to pull kids back when they're struggling and say they need more nurturing. And Steve, I think you're right. I think she shouldn't be rewarded for her life going down this path. It's like, if she doesn't want to be at home, well, okay, then maybe she'll do what she needs to do so she can have the privilege again of going away and being supported.
And I would say this, I really do think Jill's onto something here. Most likely, if you're vaping nicotine, there is a very, very good chance that you're using marijuana, and it's just important that all that get taken care of.
Which would be another reason why she doesn't want to come home.
Right. And there's so many different forms right now. So they can be doing all kinds of things right under your nose and you don't even realize it.
Right. And this is where I think it's really, really amazing when you can find a counselor that knows 12-step recovery, really able to address all the things about addiction in addition to family dynamics and things like that. Because, boy, this is a powerful addiction, and it's hard to deal with it unless you deal with it as one of the most, if not the most powerful addiction, is nicotine. And then we have not had anybody call us to talk about how fabulous life has gotten ever since they've started using marijuana. So, and then you hear the health crises coming about that are starting to surface with vaping. Yeah. So, all right, let's go to Michelle. Farmington, New Mexico, Sirius XM. How you doing? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm okay.
Okay. What's happening
really
today, Michelle?
I've wanted to call for quite a while, but the devil keeps telling me, no, your problem is just too big, too complicated, you shouldn't call. And I finally got the courage to call.
Well, I'm glad you did.
My husband is, you know, the typical type A personality. If you could say type AAA, that's what he is. He's a controller. He's a very loving person. He's never beat me. He's never cheated on me, but he deals with problems. He overreacts to everything. We have a few teenagers right now. We've gone through problems and gotten through them, but every time that there is a situation, he overreacts, and then every single time he'll think about it, realize what he did, he'd come back, and he will try to buy his way back in.
Very sad.
It's happened so many times. We've been married 25 years, and I just don't know where to draw the line. You know, I'm trying to be the submissive wife and forgive, and I'm just, you know, how many times do we need to go through this for him to grow up and to listen to the Lord and live his life right and quit controlling and quit obsessing and worrying about everything? It's gotten to where it's really hard to live with him.
Yeah, Michelle, I hear that it is. But I think, you know, wanting him to grow up is a good thing. Wanting him to make the changes is a good thing. But him just deciding to do that is probably not going to happen. And I'm sure you've talked to him, you know, hundreds of times. And he wants to do better, right?
Yes, he does. He keeps on telling me, you're going to be so happy I'm making these changes, and you're going to just be, you won't even recognize me. And then he just slides back over and over and over. Yeah. He's had alcohol problems in the past, and he won't get professional help for it. He's quit three times, and he's currently been off of it for a year. He's had drug problems. He will not allow us to go to counseling. He says, we'll talk it over. That will be our counseling.
Mm. So you've tried that, though. You've done that with him, right? You're telling me you keep going around the merry-go-round. And he's sorry, yeah. And he's going to do better. And then the tension builds up again, and then he overreacts, right?
Yeah.
So it's a merry-go-round. So what he has been willing to do has not worked. And I think that needs to be put out there. This your way hasn't worked.
And the solution comes in Ephesians 4:5-21, where it talks about husbands and wives submit to each other as unto the Lord. And sometimes we skip that verse and start with verse 22 and think that it's just the wife that submits. But the husband is called to a higher degree of submission than the wife is, because he's supposed to submit as Christ. He's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And Christ loved the church enough that he gave up his rights and became obedient unto death. And so husbands have a higher standard of submission. And somehow you've got to get involved, I think, Michelle, in terms of calling things as they are. As Jill was saying, your way hasn't worked, and it's time to try
a different
way.
He's even trying to control whatever help he gets, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and the help he's willing to receive, it's so narrow. It's like trying to feed somebody with an eyedropper. They'll starve to death
and
before they get enough
his
nutrients.
Fear.
Yes, it does.
Right. A really
good evaluation question is, am I the decider of things in my life, or is somebody taking on the role of deciding things? There's nothing in Scripture that says we're going to turn over this gift of free will to somebody else, and that's where the submitting ourselves one to another comes in. And here's what I would say. You have to do something different. Now, you cannot just all of a sudden do anything and he's going to get better. But you can get better. You can go to Al-Anon. Now, and what does that do? Well, all of a sudden, things start to feel different when somebody is going to Al-Anon. And it changes the dynamic there. So you can do that. You can get out of that. You say, you know what? I'm going to my meeting. What's your meeting? It's Al-Anon, honey. It's where I get support from other people who are going through the same thing I am. Now, that's going to cause a bit of a conflict. Now you get to see if, well, all that you said, he's never hit me or anything, which is an interesting place to start, yeah, because it would just be assumed that would be.
That's a pretty low standard.
Yeah, maybe the things you have done have prevented that. And so it's risky. I'm not saying we need to push him to hit you. I'm saying, you know what? You need to do the things that are good and right and healthy for you, and you need to get help for you, because he's not getting help for him. And I tell you, a lot of people who thought everything was hopeless, they start going to a life recovery group, a codependency group, or Al-Anon, things start to change. You can go to a counselor. You can say, I have to leave tonight. I'm going to see my counselor this evening. And why are you doing that? Well, honey, I don't think you've heard. It's not going well here, and you're not willing to do anything. So now, for the first time ever, I'm going to do something to help me, since you're not going to help you or us. I wish it was us that was going, but remember when I invited you, you didn't want to go. So these things take courage, and they're not things that we're accustomed to doing if we're afraid. And sometimes that's the first thing in our response. Honey, I was so afraid of your response, and that's why I put it off for so long. But now I believe you can handle me getting some help. But since you or us, we're not getting help together. That could be the beginning of everything being different for you.
And Michelle, it's you disengaging from his control. And part of what you need to learn is to not dance the same dance steps with him. When he starts to over-control and overreact, you become more, you know, detached from it. And not jump into it with him, not play it out with him.
You know, one of the great standards, it's not he's never beaten me. One of the great standards in marriage is this is a really kind person who's out for my best interest. It's not always about them, and sometimes they're asking me, what do I need? What do I want? That's a great standard in a marriage, and that's what we want for you. And so I'm going to encourage you to step out and get the kind of help that you can get for you, which is really going to be some courageous stuff going on with you. And boy, we'll help you any way that we can. And, you know, here's another great book. I'll send you How We Love, because there's great insight into how we get into these relationships and we start to understand the dynamic in a different way. And I'm asking you to do some things while always reminding him you wish it was the two of you that were getting the help together, and that that's always an option for him. I'm really glad you called. Maybe you're in a relationship and for some reason you're listening today and you're the one that's refusing to get the help. It doesn't have to be that way. You could decide, I'm going to call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'm going to take action.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Really glad you're with us here today. And I was just handing a little sheet of paper. This Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles, number one in children's books on Amazon, hot new releases, number one new release, right ahead of some old-fashioned looking ones. This is contemporary. This is going to be amazing. And it's our way of saying thanks for anybody that gives us a gift of any amount. And, oh, I think your kids, 8 to 11 is the basic, and 8 to 12 also. But it's Bible teaching from the voice of a very hip and with it 12-year-old kid called Kirby McCook. And you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Gift of any amount. We need your support here. Start off September generously, and we'll reward you with a great, great book. Lena, Los Angeles, California, KKLA is the station. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. What's going on? How could we help?
Our son has recently told us about 4 months ago that he feels he should have been born a girl.
Okay.
And my response to him, I know how I would like to respond to him and have supported him. My response to my church is very different. And
well, tell us what the responses are that you want to do and all of those kinds of things in your church and all that. What are you talking about?
My response to my son is that I grieve for him, that he hasn't been able to, he's an adult. My response to him is that I'm so sad that he hasn't been able to share these things with me since he was very, very young and has had to hold these things inside. And I think that his being honest has been what I've been praying for, what God wants. And my response to my church has been minimal.
Uh-huh. So you've sensed that he has struggled for quite some time. Is that what you're saying? Or
yeah, pretty much since he's been born. I think since he's told me is that this is the first time my life has made any sense.
Uh-huh.
Because I've seen how upset he's been about his life.
Yeah. So what's the question for us then?
I'm trying to I've been a Christian for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I know the church's position on this, and I'm more for my son than I am for trying to get along with my church.
Mm-hmm.
Does that bother you? Does that bother you, Lena?
Yeah, I'm very bothered by the lack of interaction with Christians with this issue. It's been a. I didn't ever think this would be part of my life, although mm-hmm. I've always felt that there are many really difficult things that the church has not been able to be involved with because they're not good at being involved with these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so. Let's take it, maybe if we could, let's take it out of the realm of the church. Because, you know, the local church, it's so different, and there's so many different teachings and so many different ways of people carrying out the teaching of Christ. What do you think is the truth here that would apply to his life? Do you think the truth is that he is... A man that actually from the beginning should have been assigned female gender? What is it that you, how do you see this?
I feel that he hasn't been listened to, and that's my place that mm-hmm. I put on me.
Okay. You feel like he hasn't been listened to. But what happened with him? Why do you think this is a problem with him? What is the source of the problem?
I don't know. I think this is such a unexplored area that I don't I'm not sure what to do. And so my response to him is that I want to know everything. I have apologized to him for not being available and not being aware, and
Well, let's ask some typical things that people want to know about. So did he have a traumatic childhood? Did he have an active father, inactive father? What, you know, all those things. What is the reality of his life?
Yeah, I think it was very, very somewhat isolated from those types of things. And
his dad wasn't there, or dad didn't.
Pretty not involved. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what does his dad think about that when he hears that? What's his response been to hearing about this?
He is not aware yet, but I think the response will be pretty volatile.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we're going to give you some help right after this. Just wanted to try to find out what's really going on. We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. This is one of those really tough situations here, and it's always difficult to deal with because no matter what this young man is going through, well, every church needs to be coming alongside moms and dads where this is happening. And, it's a complex issue, so complex. Mm-hmm. We want to give you the best that we can give you. We've dealt with a lot of folks who've hit this place with a child. The child hits this place. And so, Jill, maybe you could start. Well, you're
Lena,
a mom, and you were expressing some real compassion here.
Well, Lena, I just really feel for you. It's such a hard position. You know, we moms invest so much in our kids, and we have a sense about things, and it's so difficult when our child's life doesn't turn out the way we or they have hoped. And it's really easy, you know, to blame yourself. I think I really liked what you said about, you know, expressing to him that you're so sad that he wasn't able to come to you with this sooner when he was much younger, or that you didn't recognize the need to talk about these things and to open this up. Because bringing things into the light, then we can examine it. Then we can look at possibilities and work through things versus it building up over time and him creating his own narrative in isolation about what is wrong with him and not having more than his own thoughts about it, really, right? Yeah. And so what I would encourage him to do is that, you know, we can't go back and change that time, but now that he has opened the door to you, you can be there to listen to him and to take the time to really hear him and understand how he has struggled. And I would encourage him to take the time to explore that in relationship before making decisions. And I don't know where he's at with it, but before making any permanent decisions about changes to his life. Because there are a lot of reasons why someone is unhappy.
Yeah.
And you know, being male or being female, you know, there's a wide spectrum in just even hormone levels and things like that and how a person feels, right? You can be 100% male and still be very different from another male, right? There are very sensitive males. There are very macho males and everything in between. And, you know, it'd be nice to have some time to explore.
Well, one of the things I'd explore is a website by Walt Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R, and he is a man who felt he was a woman. He had a sex change operation to become a woman, and he's had a sex change operation to become back to being a man, and now he's married. And he tells this story, and it'd be something that he ought to be aware of as an option, as one of the opinions of what goes on when somebody does a sex change operation. It's not always a great story, and it's not always the solution to the problem.
They don't get the relief they were hoping for.
Right.
And right, usually, isn't it at least 5 years later they regret it? Or
they regret it, and he had the courage to turn it back and reverse the operation. And since then has built a life, and he was quite a story. It raises a lot of questions, and it would be something that you would want to discuss with your son as you both would read some of the stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reality is that, and I've said this many times here, not one thing changes everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why we don't want to rush into doing any one thing or taking a different approach that abandons, you know, what the truth that we have come to understand. And so we don't want to have a simplistic answer, but we also don't want to start with, I have to abandon everything that I believe in order for this to make sense, because that doesn't make sense that we would do that. So I want to encourage her to go slowly with this, mm-hmm. and to look at all things, look at that website, and to say to him, I'm with you. I want to help you with this. Let's try to find out what are all of the things that are underlying all of this so that nobody makes any kind of decision too fast, too quick about anything. That's the main thing.
Get them talking and listen.
Mm-hmm. And you know, again, like I say, that surely there is a church where you can find hope and some help and support for the struggle that you're going through, no matter what that struggle is. That's what
in a lot of churches, there are groups for parents of kids that are gay, right, or that are struggling with identity issues, right?
Yes,
and
right.
I would seek out parents who are in these types of situations, because the pat answers don't necessarily work, right?
No,
and having people
don't.
That have been there and understand can really help.
Well, I ask folks to pray for you. I hope and pray something we've said here is helpful in some particular way. And let me send you a copy of this Restoration Bible, just a great, great tool to use to encourage yourself through all of this. Really, really sorry that you're going through this. This is tough. All right, let's go to AJ, Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM. Hi, AJ, how are you? What's going on?
Hi, I've called before. I found out that my husband is into porn, watching it for 26 and a half years of our marriage. It's been a year now, and he's done a few things. You know, he's doing like the 12-step recovery program. He's seeing a sex therapist, and he has some accountability partners. However, I don't see a change. And he's read your book. I believe it's Worthy of Her Trust.
When I ask
him to do things, he gets upset. He gets stubborn, and I don't trust him. And because I don't trust him, he says it's my problem, not his problem.
Oh, it's so sad. So very, very sad. So what's the question for us then?
I don't know how to trust him. I really don't want to be in the marriage anymore. And because he's really not putting forth his best effort, going above and beyond to try to, you know, get me back, I mean, he's giving me excuses. I don't think I want to waste any more of my time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's still watching porn, too.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like...
Yeah, because he's defensive.
And whether he's using porn or not, you know, I'll tell you, when you're in recovery, you're pretty much saying, I've got to make up some of this. I've got to make some amends here. I've got to make things right. And I've been into me. Now I need to, kind of be into her a little bit here and try to see what I can do to make things better for the person that I've hurt. And I don't think any of that's going on. So you have to question, is he using and is he really working the 12 steps? Now, are you getting any kind of help? Are you doing anything like going to a support group of any kind yourself?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, don't you think that'd be a good idea?
But I support him by being here, and of course he wants to hold my hand and hug me and all of that, but that's not the type of support that I'm willing to give right now. I want him to fight if he wants me to stay in this marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is, it's really great when you can get some help for you. And then it's not just you making it up as you go along. Doing the best you can. Angry one day, frustrated. Now you're working with him. Now you don't want to talk to him. You can develop some, kind of get a little bit of security and direction here that'll help him know what he's dealing with, and it's not inconsistent.
Well, and AJ, it probably feels like, the problem has been his. He's the one that needs to make it right. But I think it's we believe it's really important for you being on the receiving end of his behavior to get some help and some support from other people who have been in the situation. And that's why we created Restore, so that women can kind of come together and really understand this, so that then you have some realistic expectations in dealing with him.
Well, I think you need to up your expectations for him in terms of Every Man's Battle, the workshop, and
it's not working. Sure things aren't happening.
So you got to up the ante, but you've got to get help yourself, because if you don't have a support system, you can't really act definitively.
Then you're just angry at him for what he's not doing.
All that does
is
perpetuate the problem.
Well, I'm getting a little bit of support, but I'm not actually going in on a regular basis. So I do get some support, but even with that support, I tell him, in order to help him, but he's very stubborn. He's just, he's like, you need to trust me, and I can't trust a liar who's lied to me for 26 and a half years.
That's exactly right.
He destroyed the trust, and he's not doing anything to rebuild it.
So that's why we're saying
we understand that
you need support from trustworthy people who've been through this and have found that there is hope on the other side. And we'll try to help you find that group. LifeRecoveryGroups.com, great place to find a group or how to start a group. We're going to be doing our 12 Steps to Happiness or Happier. And that's our Life Recovery Group that's coming up here in October. We'd love for you to join us. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back for more New Life Live right after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artemir here. Really glad you're with us here today. Joining us in the studio, Larry Sonnenberg. Hey, Larry.
Hey,
how
Steve.
Are you?
Doing good. Thank you.
Almost halfway through September here.
We are. And I want to read this. This lady writes a note, says, I'm enclosing a check to your ministry because your voices over the years have helped me heal from childhood hurts, helped me to slowly realize Jesus loves me unconditionally, and that he holds me in his arms and has given me the privilege of being a wife and mother. And my marriage is getting better after years of not connecting emotionally. I thank you for being my mentor, my encourager, and you are my California friends.
And, that's wonderful.
I'm just thinking, if you're somebody like her, where the voices on this radio program have helped you heal from years of childhood hurts, realize how much Jesus loves you, that your marriage is getting better, or whatever else your situation is, that's why we look for your support, because God's working through this. And we need your help in two ways. We need your one-time gifts, and we need you to join up with Club New Life. And I'd like you to call our 800 number and ask about Club New Life.
And please do, yeah.
The other thing, I want to just give you a little bit of notice that we're going to have an online auction that we will hold. A few of the gift ideas, and we'll put this up on our website, and there'll be a complete list and instructions on how to do this auction. But we have, among other things, we have a certificate for a Caribbean cruise. We've got sailboat rides, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, on some beautiful ships. We have three sculptures, one of John Wayne, one of John the Baptist, one of the Apostle Paul. We have coaching from some of our radio hosts, from Steve and a couple hosts. We have autographed books. We've got some vacation homes that have been donated for three-night stays in Lake Tahoe, in Seattle, Flagstaff, Arizona. We got some jewelry. We have a wedding ring. We've got other things, but I just want to encourage you folks, be tuned in. We're looking for ways to raise money that we haven't done before, but we need your help. And thank you, everybody who is helping us.
Yeah, you know, we've gotten some really creative things that we're going to auction off because people said, well, you know, I've got this, I don't need it. And
we've got some Steve artwork.
It's like an estate sale.
Steve is painting a...
Oh, really?
Is it a vase, Steve? A vase?
It's a big vase, and we'll
That's
see how
so
that
cool.
goes. Anyway, I hope people like it. I'm also doing a little, I do some, you know, my wife's favorite flowers, poppies, so I've got some poppy artwork there. Anyway, whatever we can do to help fund people getting help that transforms lives and puts you in touch with redemptive relationship. That's what this ministry is all about. And if you can help us in any way, please do. The auction will be fun. But right now, gift of any amount, Kirby McCook Amen. And the Jesus Chronicles coming your way. Larry, did you hear that? Number one in the new books released kids' books about Jesus.
Well, I love it because really it's got the best subtitle I've ever heard.
Right.
It is quite catchy. A 12-year-old's take on the totally unboring, slightly weird stuff in the Bible, including fish guts, wrestling moves, and stinky feet. It's all right there, and you'll be cool. Your kids will love it, the grandkids. So call us and let us get you a copy of this. A gift of any amount in the church. Thank you, Larry.
All right.
And I think we've got time for one more phone call. Let's see how it goes. He goes to Eastville, California. Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Stephen. I'm good, everybody. How are you guys?
Good. What's good. Going on?
Here's a praise report before I get to the question. You ready?
Okay.
This is my 93rd day of purity.
Oh, nice. Wow. Good job, buddy. That's wonderful. And how did you make that happen? What's different in your life that happened?
Oh, man, more than you know. You know that software, Covenant Eyes, right?
Yeah, right. Well, we support that. We encourage people to get it. Yeah.
Well, I just put it, I had it before, prior to reaching these, in August, since I had some issues, I actually applied it to my phone, because I had it in my computer since April, but I had it on my phone since August, so I really wanted to pump up my purity game by putting it in my phone.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, what else did you want to tell us about?
Here's my question. I remember you telling me not to go near a justification of a woman, right? So here's a question that's an extension of that. You ready?
Ready.
All right. How should a filmmaker who loves women, not objectify a female character without alienating his male audience, since women are often objectified in movies to please men?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, because I'm not a movie maker. I just know there are a lot of great movies that have great female characters, and they're strong and tender and gentle and brilliant, and that's how you do it. You know, we've been supporting this great movie, Overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just continue to hear people go into that movie and there talk about the whole person being part of that great character, that young woman. So they're also, and they're strong, strong women in that, all through that film. So, you know, go to that, and maybe that'll help answer your question. But,
well, I think,
you know,
I think you gave an answer in what your answer was, Steve, that if you don't objectify a woman, you see her as a complete person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
with,
true.
With thoughts and interests and insights and feelings, the whole spectrum of what a person is typified in terms of the way women are portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So not just,
well,
a,
I was talking about this
object.
Sunday when I was preaching, I was talking about the fact that it's so interesting that pornography is becoming more accepted, and it's so demeaning, so objectifying, mm-hmm. of women that, you know, I mean, there needs to be more done on the prevention side so that we have less to do on the treatment side. It is really sad, and many of the folks that are using it for the first time are females. So, you know, it's not good. It's not harmless, and we need to do what we can to get people to stop. So I'm glad you called, and thank you for that call, and I'm going to send you a copy of Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles to give to one of those nieces, nephews, grandkids, brother, sister, whoever it is. Anybody else, you can get it right here, newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And I just want to tell you, we have so many great and wonderful supporters that sacrifice greatly for this ministry. We're so thankful for you that do that. And, you know, if you've never thought about being part of the support here, I'd just ask you to pray about it, because we really do whatever we can to be good stewards of every bit of the support that we get here. And I was talking to somebody the other day, you know, a lot of people, they have, I don't travel with somebody to carry my bags or something like that, like they do it anyway. And we really try to do the things that make the most sense for the ministry, to run the ministry, but we're always looking at how can we save. And Larry Sonnenberg is such a great person to be in charge of that financial rallying point, where we ask people for support and then we honor the support that they give us. So if you can, please help us. We know that we're going to do a good job in being good stewards of that support, and we're so thankful for all of the folks who do support us. The phone number to do that is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, but it's also the place to call and get some help. This marriage conference coming up, I mean, we don't know of anything that works to help more people more deeply in their marriage. Finding freedom, you can get that, whatever it is, taken care of. Come join us. We're going to be doing this right here tomorrow, here on New Life Live, and I hope you'll join us then. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.